We're back from bye week on the Bengals Beat Podcast. I'm Lindsay Patterson alongside the Inquirer beat writer for the Cincinnati Bengals, Tyler Dragon, and our guy, Charlie Goldsmith. How you guys doing?
It's nice weather outside for November. Election week is over. It's week 10 of football. There's COVID cases running rampant over the National Football League, but doing as good as possible still in the middle of a pandemic. How about you two?
I'm doing good. I saw that the playoff odds for the Cincinnati Bengals might have just improved, considering there are scenarios where an additional team in each conference might get into the playoffs. But aside from that, in a wild week with lots going on with the Bengals and the Steelers, I'm doing well.
Let's go ahead and get to the COVID situation, because after having a pretty quiet time for the Pittsburgh Steelers and the Cincinnati Bengals, they made it to the midway point of the season without any COVID cases. And then all of a sudden it's Steelers-Bengals week, and here we are. You know, during bye week, we talked to Zach Taylor about it. Every player was still going to get tested every single day during that time. And we started to notice some of the names going on the COVID reserve list. Of course, the Cincinnati Bengals, they're not making that public, and a lot of NFL teams don't. You can see that on the wire, and we've been able to see that. Tyler, what's going on with COVID cases in Cincinnati and in Pittsburgh?
Well, I can confirm 5 Bengals are on the reserve COVID-19 list. Mackenzie Alexander and Jordan Evans are not two of the players that have COVID-19. So they are not infected, but they have been in close contact with the two players that tested positive for the Bengals. As far as the Steelers, they also have 5 players who are on the reserve COVID-19 list. We know right now that their tight end, Vance McDonald, tested positive for sure. We are unaware if any other player tested positive, but they have 5 players on the reserve COVID list at the time of recording. These things change rapidly, and by the time we're done recording, there could be new positive cases, new players on the reserve COVID list. That's just the way this season is. The game is still expected to go on as scheduled, Sunday at 4:25 p.m. Eastern. A whirlwind season, much ever-changing, very fluid situation. You just hope that the players that have tested positive, the staff members across the National Football League, you just hope and pray that, they're okay and they have a speedy recovery.
We asked Drew Sample about this today, and Bengals tight end's answer, he said that everyone, no matter where you are in the depth chart, this is another reason why you have to be ready to play. And he added, no matter how much playing time you've gotten all season, you have to be especially ready considering these circumstances. And that shows the seriousness of what we're dealing with. Drew Sample made it seem like there's an increased likelihood, whether or not it happens, there's an increased likelihood that people who haven't been playing as big roles for the Bengals see their playing time increase against arguably the best team the Cincinnati Bengals have faced all season. So that's the on-field impact of it, something that we've seen across the NFL all season. A lot of Bengals have said this as well. It was almost a matter of time until something similar happened in Cincinnati.
Here's the thing about Ben Roethlisberger. When I saw his name pop up on Twitter today, and actually, Charlie, we have a group chat right now. He went ahead and sent it to us this morning, and I wasn't on Twitter when it happened. I go to the link. It's Adam Schefter breaking the news that Ben Roethlisberger has been placed on the reserve COVID list. And I first thought, oh, hope Ben's okay. You hate to see that with anybody's name. Ben can be cleared by Saturday as long as he continues to test negative. Again, he's on there because of the close contact. He didn't test positive. But there's a thing about Ben Roethlisberger, and I'll say this. I've watched the movie, and I've read the book. Ben gets injured in a game. Ben comes back. Ben's working from home virtually all week. Ben comes back, throws for 400 yards when he was injured in 2015 before he played the Browns. There's just this thing about Big Ben. I have a feeling, I'll say it right now, we're recording on a Tuesday this week. Ben's going to be fine. And he'll be playing Sunday against the Cincinnati Bengals.
Yeah, he actually can report to the team facility wearing all PPE, of course, because he's has a minor knee injury. So I do believe as well that he will be playing on Sunday. he's one of those players that was in close contact with someone who tested positive for COVID-19. So, yeah, I definitely expect him to be in the lineup come Sunday.
Last week in Detroit, Matthew Stafford kind of had a similar situation where he wasn't in practice in the facility much during the week and then went out and started as normal on Sunday. I think the Ben Roethlisberger might be one of the most well-suited quarterbacks in the NFL to not be in the facility all week and come out and play on Sunday because of the longevity he's had with the coaching staff, with a lot of the major pieces on the Pittsburgh Steelers offense, and just his football IQ in general. He's faced this Bengals defense more than anyone else, and he, you know, it seems like it'll be business as usual once we get to Sunday.
All right, we go into this game right now. The Bengals had a little momentum after beating the Tennessee Titans, the first place in the AFC South, and they go into a bye week. And we have coronavirus cases, as we just mentioned. This team has been gelling offensively. I mean, you give credit to Zach Taylor for the play calling, the way Joe Burrow has started to play. T. Higgins, I think, is an underrated MVP on this team with what he's been able to do in the wide receiver room. And just that rookie draft class alone on the defensive side, they still have a lot of holes. They have some injuries. That's a big question mark going into this game, but we'll get to predictions in a moment. When you look at this game for the Cincinnati Bengals in 2020, look, they've only had 8 games. What does this game mean for them on Sunday?
Well, the Bengals haven't beaten the Steelers since November 1st, 2015. Barack Obama was the U.S. president then. Joe Burrow was at Ohio State. And Zach Taylor was on the Miami Dolphins coaching staff. So this has been a formidable foe for the Cincinnati Bengals long before Zach Taylor and Joe Burrow were Cincinnati Bengals. You know, its game means a lot to not only the city of Cincinnati, and it means a lot to the team as well, just because the Steelers have had their number for several seasons, you know. And last year, it wasn't really close when they played at Heinz Field in that 27-3 loss. It's going to be tough because obviously the Steelers are the lone unbeaten team in the National Football League. They have a top 10 defense. They lead the league in sacks and are tied for first in interceptions. Joe Burrow, you know, he's going to have to protect the football. He said going into the bye week that was his, you know, biggest concern. He wanted to, you know, be better with the football and not to give it up as much. But yeah, this is going to be a huge test for him, considering, you know, the last big test probably that he had was against the Baltimore Ravens, and we all know how that turned out. So this is going to be a huge test, not only for Burrow, but the Cincinnati Bengals, a team that has not won a road game since I started covering the team. So it's a huge test.
Two big things to me stand out about this matchup, and the first is Ben Roethlisberger. I forget if it was 8 or 9 years ago, the 2012-2013 time frame. Well, the Bengals had this big win on the road against Pittsburgh. I remember Sean Williams had this big interception on the sideline. And the talking point after the game was that it was a changing of the guard in the AFC North, and that Pittsburgh and specifically Ben Roethlisberger were kind of on the out. 8 years later, Sean Williams is still on the Bengals, but he's kind of the old guard on the defense. He's someone who really doesn't have quite as much of a role anymore, and Ben Roethlisberger is the exact same quarterback. I have so much respect for his longevity, how he's evolved as a player to get to this point, but the reason Pittsburgh's 8-0, I don't think that's because of Ben. I think that's because they're creating turnovers at just an astonishing rate. The reason they beat Baltimore wasn't because of the offense. It was because they forced 4 turnovers against a really efficient Ravens offense. Last week, Garrett Gilbert had some really impressive moments, but at the end of the day, Pittsburgh had a couple key takeaways as well. Joe Burrow has more or less held onto the ball. I think he ranks 18th in interceptions, but there have been a number of dropped picks that we've seen opposing defenses not capitalize upon. I think whether or not Joe Burrow throws 1 interception or 2 or 3 is going to tell a lot about where he stands and about where this Pittsburgh defense can kind of take advantage of the Bengals offense.
Yeah, I think this game really is more about Joe Burrow. Of course, we've talked about Ben Roethlisberger, what he's able to do. He still has playmakers out there. But I think you look at this Pittsburgh Steelers team, they're undefeated for a reason. And it is, as Charlie mentioned, they're creating turnovers. If Joe Burrow, and he's talked about it before because he's had some rookie mistakes out there, some interceptions that he would like back even in the red zone. And some you could say you could blame on the tight end or the receiver. But Joe Burrow, as long as he doesn't make those rookie mistakes and he holds on to the ball and makes good decisions, they could win this game. It might be sloppy. It might be a shootout. I'm not getting my prediction
yet.
In my prediction yet. But I'm just, look what they look like against the Cowboys. I mean, special teams look like a disaster. But if you aren't creating turnovers, if you're not throwing interceptions, you're holding on to the ball, this team has a chance offensively. Defensively, it's another story. But the way that they've been playing offensively, 3 weeks of 30-plus points, Zach Taylor's done a great job of play calling. No rogue crowd in Pittsburgh, you know, not that intimidating Heinz Field situation and atmosphere for the Cincinnati Bengals. You really don't have that. And that was really going to be a benefit for Joe Burrow in his rookie year. Limited fans when they go on the road. And he's not really going to get that first Pittsburgh experience. When it comes to atmosphere on the field, it could be another story because I think that defense is the reason they are where they're at. And if Joe Burrow makes good decisions, like he's been doing for the most part, doesn't make rookie mistakes, doesn't throw interceptions, they have a shot offensively. I'll say that.
Yeah, you know, the Bengals, they've been moving up and down the field offensively in recent weeks. And, you know, I do think it's going to be a relatively close game. You know, the Bengals have only had one really lopsided loss this entire season, and that was to the Baltimore Ravens. So, you know, despite what some people may think, I actually have a close game. We're not getting into predictions yet. I do expect the Bengals to, you know, move up and down the field. The question is going to be, though, if they can, you know, score 6 and 7 points when they get in the red zone, because they have some problems with red zone offense. And also, like I said before, you have to protect the football against the Pittsburgh Steelers. They are a turnover happy defense. They like to create turnovers. They have 11 interceptions, and they are going to, you know, try to capitalize off rookie mistakes on Joe Burrow. They're going to try to confuse him defensively. I expect some zone blitzes, some complex blitz packages, and Joe Burrow's going to have to be in his A game. And to his credit, though, he is a very smart football player, and he knows how to, you know, diagnose defense as well, better than most rookies that I have seen at the quarterback level in their first season. So he's going to have to be on top of his game to be able to, you know, help this offense move down the field versus a top 10 defense and one of the best turnover creating defenses in the National Football League.
I think if the Bengals score 27 or 30 points, they win this game. Now, I don't see that happening, but the path to winning is getting in the red zone and scoring touchdowns 3, 4, 5 times. It's as simple as that, to be honest. Defensively, if you look at the other side, you know, the Tennessee Titans offense is much better, I think, than the Pittsburgh Steelers. They have a much better running back. I think the quarterback play is about the same between Ryan Tannehill and Ben Roethlisberger. And I think the wide receiving cores are very similar. I think Tennessee's wide receivers are underrated. In general, the Bengals did a decent job preventing explosive passing plays from two dynamic guys in Corey Davis and A.J. Brown. Now, again, I don't see the Bengals scoring 27 points because I think turnovers at the end of the day, I think Pittsburgh's defense has the advantage on that end. But it's a winnable game, and I don't expect it. I don't expect Pittsburgh's pass rush to be as much of an issue as the Baltimore Ravens' pass rush was, because we've seen other defenses try to replicate some of those aspects, specifically the Colts and the Browns, especially the Browns. And in general, Joe Burrow has looked better in those looks than he did against Baltimore.
It's definitely a game where field goals, you can't go in the red zone and kick a field goal. You're where you're at with your record, and you just got to go for the TD. I think we're going to see this team going forward on fourth down a lot. I think you got to utilize Auden Tate, what he was able to do in the past game offensively, and the red zone. Use him there. We don't know if Joe Mixon is going to be good to go. I have a hot take for all of you guys when it comes to Joe Mixon. Look. He deserved his money. He deserved his extension. There's nothing you can do when it comes to injuries. Is this team better at times without Joe Mixon?
You're not going to have Joe Mixon texting me right now, so.
He's great, and believe me, he changes the offense. But at times, the way, what you get from Gio Bernard at times, is it good to either have both running backs out there on the same time, utilize both the running backs, or change it up a little bit when Joe Mixon is out there?
I think that the Bengals are a much better offensive team with Joe Mixon in the backfield. He relieves some of the pressure off Joe Burrow. When the Bengals can actually run the ball, which they've had a tough time doing so this year. They're one of the worst rushing teams in the NFL. But that's a collective effort, starting with the offensive line and play calls. I can't say that this team is better without Joe Mixon.
At times, not all the time.
And maybe in third down passing situations, Giovanni Bernard is a better route runner. Still at this point in his career, he's shiftier in the open field, but I cannot say that this team is better without Joe Mixon starting at running back.
I think Lindsay's right in that they're each better at different times, and arguably where the Bengals are at right now, Bernard's a better fit for him. Let me explain. I think when the Bengals are down 7 to 10 points in the fourth quarter and are chipping back like they did in the first matchup against Cleveland, like they did at times against Philadelphia, like they have several times this season, Bernard's better at that. When the Bengals have to sell out on the passing game and the defense is expecting Joe Burrow to throw the ball 50 times, 60 times. I think he still leads the league in pass attempts per game, which is an indictment on the situational football the Bengals have been playing. So when that's what the Bengals offense has to be, then yes, I think Bernard is better in that role. There are some games this year where the Bengals just have had to throw the ball 50 times because that's where they've been in the game clock. But the Bengals do miss Joe Mixon. The most they missed Joe Mixon, I think, was in that last drive against Tennessee, where it took an out route to Auden Tate, a contested catch, to really run out the clock on third down late in the fourth quarter. Joe Mixon is great when the Bengals have the lead. In that first game against Cleveland, they handed the ball to Chubb and Hunt a bunch of times, and they ran down the field and clinched the game. Mixon did that against Jacksonville, and I think the Bengals missed Mixon being able to provide that element against Tennessee. So in the future, the plan is when the Bengals are winning more games and leading in more games, Joe Mixon is going to be a much more valuable running back than Bernard is at the end of games in the most moments. But where the Bengals are now, where they're behind 7 points more often than they're ahead 7 points in the fourth, Bernard's pretty critical.
Yeah, it's not a winning formula to drop back and pass 40, 50 times a game. And, there's a reason why the Bengals are 2-5-1. And, one of the reasons is you can't become – one of the many reasons, but this is a reason, is you can't become too predictable on offense. And when Joe Burrow's dropping back that many times and when he leads the league in average pass attempts per game, you don't want to see that for any quarterback, let alone a rookie quarterback, because then, pass rushers can just pin their ears back and rush the quarterback because they know what's coming. And, Joe Burrow is among the league leaders in getting sacked. And you don't want to see that. You want to be able to protect him. And part of protecting a quarterback is to establish the run and really utilizing a workhorse running back, which Joe Mixon is.
You know what they should do?
What should they do?
Run the ball on second down.
I am always a fan of running on first down, even when the defense knows what's coming. Now, I get your joke, but even when the defense knows what's coming, I am always a big fan of just running the football on first down. See what you can get. If you get 5 yards, I'm going to run it again. But, I'm a fan of running backs and running the football. I would play – if I was offensive coordinator, you would see me calling runs all the time.
I want to go back to Joe Mixon, though. Do you think when he is on the field and you utilize him – and we've talked about it this whole entire offseason, the way he is. He's a different kind of running back in the NFL, and I would say top 5, top 6 That could I could get credit. People could criticize me for that, but I believe he's right there. I think you got to utilize his talent because he can be a pass catcher too. Almost like we saw from Gio Bernard, and just having him out there with the offense. It'll be interesting because we've seen Zach Taylor, and I want to give him a little credit where it's due. The play calling has been okay in the last three games. Pittsburgh's going to be a different story. AFC North rival on the road. This team's undefeated, and their defense is legit. But that's to be determined. Sam Hubbard, he got cleared to practice today. What does that mean for the team, and could we see him play in Pittsburgh?
So I think there's a good chance that he will play in Pittsburgh. As you said, he got cleared today. They put him on IR on October 15th with an elbow injury. He's been practicing on the rehab field in these past few weeks. He's progressing well. And, you know, I do think he's going to be active on Sunday. It wouldn't totally surprise me if he wasn't, but, you know, I do expect him to be in the field. And the Bengals definitely need him. We know this team has a serious problem with getting after the quarterback. Hubbard's best season was last year, especially his best sack total season. So I do expect him to be active in Pittsburgh. And the Bengals defensive line, which has severely underperformed this season, they desperately need him.
Bengals defense misses Sam Hubbard more than it even misses Trey Waynes, because when you look who some of the replacements have been trying to get a pass rush, it's been Khalid Kareem, it's been Marcus Hunt. These are much less proven players than the Bengals have been able to put at that second and third quarterback spots to replace Waynes when he's been out this season. Hubbard is a fan favorite in Cincinnati, and I think the biggest reason is because of how hard he plays. Having him back and having that overall energy and toughness for a defensive line that hasn't had a ton of that and hasn't had a ton of experience this year is one of the more underrated areas one of the more underrated reasons why this Bengals defense can improve in the second half.
Charlie mentioned Trey Waynes, and I get this a lot on social media. What's going on, besides the reserve COVID list, what's going on with him, and is he even going to return this season?
You know, when he was first injured during training camp, I was hearing that it would probably be at the latter portion of November. Well, best case scenario, that he will be back, you know, in late November. Right now, I just don't see him playing this season, especially if things get out of hand. And, you know, they signed him to a long-term deal in the offseason, so you want to make sure you have him for the long haul. So if, you know, the injury lingers on and, you know, he's still battling that pectoral injury, then I honestly don't expect him to play. I think he'll be back next season. But he's another one of those cases where it would not surprise me if he plays maybe week 14-ish, but I do expect him to play next year for sure and probably sit out this season.
Almost like a Jonah Williams situation with what we saw last year. He felt like he was okay to play towards the end of November, early December, and they're like, why would we have you return? And I think that's going to be a similar situation with Cincinnati because, look, we've talked about the second half of the season. Their schedule gets a little bit better because they play the NFC East, but they still have three divisional games and one this coming Sunday. And speaking of that game, prediction time for the Cincinnati Bengals. We were all wrong last week, or the last time the Bengals did play, and they beat the Tennessee Titans, AFC South first place Tennessee Titans.
You don't have to say we were all wrong.
We were all wrong. I'll go ahead and say it. All of us, all three of us, picked them to lose that game, and they didn't. When you go into this game, again, this team is weird. I said it 2 weeks ago when I described the Cincinnati Bengals in 2020. I call them weird. They've been in a lot of games, but as everyone has mentioned, good teams finish those games, and they didn't do that before, but they did it against the Tennessee Titans. They should have beat the Philadelphia Eagles. They tie that game. They beat a really bad Jags team. So there's a lot of question marks with this team, and we can look at all the defensive issues and just offensively the offensive line, and it's still a big question mark going into Pittsburgh right now. I think you look at this game and you saw what the Pittsburgh Steelers did against the Dallas Cowboys. I thought that's going to be an easy winnable game, but the NFL is weird. You could go into a game, be undefeated, and it be a close one against a really bad team. I think there was just some deep, obviously special teams issues, but when I look at Sunday Of course, I'm taking Pittsburgh to extend to 9-0 on the season. I joked about it and put it on social media earlier in the week, and I said almost 17 years to the day. They played the Kansas City Chiefs. They only had about three or four wins that year. The Kansas City Chiefs were 9-0 on the season. John Kitna, it was his last year as a starting quarterback with Carson Palmer on the sideline. They beat the Kansas City Chiefs. That was at Paul Brown Stadium. It was the Peter Warwick game. But 17 years to the day, and a day later, they are playing the Pittsburgh Steelers. They're undefeated, except they have 8 wins and 0 losses. I'm going to say it's going to be 28-20. And only reason I say 28-20 is because the Bengals score a garbage touchdown late in the game.
Thought you were leaning on the fence there that you're going to have it a little bit closer. You still have a one-score game.
A one-score game, I just think, honestly, I think it's the Pittsburgh defense. Mm-hmm. It's not even Ben Roethlisberger. Look, he might light it up. He has the Bengals number. This isn't a rivalry. I'm here to admit it. It's not a rivalry. You got to win games in the rivalry for it to be one, and it's not. But it's an AFC North game. Things are different. We talked to the players this week, and obviously they're gonna know the difference. Even Von Bell, new to the team, and he says his neighbor was like, "It's a big game. We don't like them," and he joked about that. But yeah, I think the Bengals are gonna. The score is gonna look closer than what it is. And I'll say that Joe Burrow has a rookie mistake in it.
A rookie mistake.
I'll have an interception by Joe Burrow because this defense is just, it's too legit.
Okay. Well, I like where you're going there. You know, I just think I'm more on your side of the fence too. You know, this defense, I really think that they are one of the best defenses in the National Football League. I really like how they've been playing against the Cowboys. I think they overlooked Dallas. They obviously thought they were the better team, and they thought they could just go in there and play C, D-level football and still come out with the win. And you can't really overlook professional athletes like that. And, you know, that's what they did. They still came out with the win, of course. I don't think they're going to make the same mistake twice. And I have the Pittsburgh Steelers beating the Bengals 27-20. I think it's going to be a closer game. Throughout, I think the Steelers will, you know, have a comfortable lead. I do think, you know, the Bengals will kind of stay within striking distance, but not close enough where you think that, you know, the game is in doubt. So I do have the Steelers winning, and unfortunately for the Bengals and their fans, Zach Taylor remains winless on the road.
I think that the Bengals have played a lot of teams this season who have offenses similar to the Pittsburgh Steelers' quick hit attack. And when William Jackson has been in the game, the Bengals have played well against those opponents, specifically people like Baltimore, people like Philadelphia, Cleveland, not as much Cleveland. But anyway, I think there are going to be a lot of scoring chances for both teams. However, I think that the Bengals' red zone offense will struggle because of Pittsburgh's pass rush, because there's less space and more room that Pittsburgh's playmakers can cover. I think that, again, both teams are going to have a lot of opportunities, and a lot of those opportunities will result in field goals. Pittsburgh wins 23-16.
All right, to be determined in a couple days. Cincinnati Bengals, they're back to practice this week, doing a little bit of a virtual side thanks to the reserve COVID list and cases that are popping up in Cincinnati, and similar situation, as we mentioned, with the Pittsburgh Steelers. I have a question of the week. Halloween's over. You know, we move on to Thanksgiving. Christmas is right around the corner. And a lot of people, they've moved on. They moved on to Christmas. They got those Christmas trees up. They're ready to, like, you know, who cares about Thanksgiving, which is the best holiday of the year. Thanksgiving gets overlooked every year. They're putting Christmas trees up. They're lighting the lights out in their yard, and they're calling it, you know, Christmas time. Put on the Christmas music, because 2020 has been pretty brutal. Are you guys Christmas tree people before Thanksgiving, early November, or the day after Thanksgiving?
That's a good question, because I got made fun of last year for not having a Christmas tree. And one of the people who covers the Bengals, who shall remain nameless, actually got me a little small Christmas tree for my place. You know, I'm always the person, even when I was little growing up, my parents and I and my sister, we put a Christmas tree up the day after Thanksgiving, after those Black Friday shopping, because you know you got to go Black Friday shopping. I still do that to this day. So yes, Christmas tree lights, lights around the house, decorate, in my opinion, should be after Thanksgiving. I know some people started decorating their house and, you know, all around during Halloween. And I was like, can we get to Halloween first? Like, come on. But yeah, that's my take on it. But I know there's many different takes. I'm sure Charlie and you, Lindsay, you guys are putting Christmas trees up and everything yesterday.
Here's my take. There's this one house in, I think, Montgomery, and I have no idea who these people are. Personally, I don't associate with UC or Xavier having one particular allegiance in the rivalry. But I've always loved this one house. I guess they're huge Xavier fans, with this beautiful Christmas Xavier-themed light display. That is just stunning, with the canyons in there and the blue blobs in there and their big X's all over the backyard or the front yard. And that usually goes up around the start of college basketball season. I think that college basketball season is, especially for someone who loves Xavier as much as they do and loves college basketball like I do, college basketball season is a welcoming to winter and an invitation to do things like putting up beautiful team-themed Christmas displays. So I will not stick to a binary Halloween or Thanksgiving answer. I'll say college basketball season, whenever that begins for you, is a solid time to start preparing for Christmas.
I grew up in a family that decorates pretty much in early November because they have Thanksgiving at their house and they feel like all of their Christmas decorations have to be up. Me personally, I don't put a tree up because I'm just going home. Fam's going to have it all ready to rock. That's where, you know, we open presents. So I'm anti-tree.
Wow.
Anti-tree. But if I were to have a tree, this is where it gets messy. I'm more of a, I want a real one because it just smells good. The pine. Even though the little needles are all over the floor. I like real tree versus fake. Where do you guys stand on that?
I'm indifferent. It all depends. You know, fake trees, low maintenance. Don't have to clean up that much. Just put it back in the box when you're done. And get it out the box. Probably put two pieces together. But yes, I do agree, though. Real trees, they do smell good. Very high maintenance, though. If it were me... to answer your question, I don't mind either way. I feel like that's the wife's decision, the woman's decision. So I would lean on the women tend to like real trees. Lindsay, am I right on that?
They do. They definitely do.
And if you go for a fake tree, as long as it looks realistic, like don't come out here with a purple Christmas tree.
Nah. No, I agree with that. And honestly, I think by the time we get into December, we should have like some kind of little bet, and whoever loses it has to sing a Christmas carol on this podcast.
Well, you're already going to owe me an apple pie.
We do need to get to that, because here's the thing. You're making this sound like I am predicting the Bengals are going to win this game. We joked on the podcast last week that if the Bengals were to beat the Pittsburgh Steelers, Tyler's going to buy Skyline for the 10 listeners of the Bengals Beat podcast, and you know we'll have kind of fun with that. I never picked a team to win. That was your bet. So you know what? I like I said on this podcast, I picked the Bengals to lose in that game. But I'm still here for the bet. I'm still here because I will honor a bet.
I mean, I have to win something.
Yeah.
I have to win something.
I'll make a pie.
Lindsay, that pie you posted on Twitter looked incredible. I just want to compliment
it was,
you.
That's why.
You know what, guys? That's what I did on my bye week. It was super exciting. Watched some NFL, made a pie. It didn't look great. You know how people have to have the pie look perfect? Nah. I was just like, look, it didn't get burnt. It had some cinnamon inside it. It was good. Some apple. It was great. So if the Bengals lose to the Pittsburgh Steelers, Tyler gets a pie.
Well, no. Also, since it was if the Bengals win against an AFC North opponent.
Oh.
Then I owe Skyline to 10 listeners and you two, of course.
Okay, let's do that then.
And so if they don't win, then you owe me an apple pie.
I like that. But you know, it's going to be crazy if they pulled an upset on Sunday, which I, again, don't have happening. Everyone's going to be pointing to you, Tyler, because that bet is on social media.
I know. You put it on social media. And then you said all of Cincinnati, too. You want me to go broke.
No, I definitely don't.
If they win on Sunday, I hope that Skyline, the guy who dresses up like Captain Obvious, shows up. I hope the guy who wears a big hat at the Bengals game shows up. I hope all of the biggest Bengals fans come and have a little party, because they would deserve it after a win like that.
I might cancel my Twitter account.
Free Skyline. I mean, Skylines and all that's to be determined. Again, Cincinnati Bengals get to the practice field this week. A little bit of a virtual aside again. We've mentioned all the COVID situation that they're dealing with right now. They're just trying to be safe. They take on the Pittsburgh Steelers for the first time in 2020. Joe Burrow's debut at Heinz Field. Kickoff 4:25, a late one, thanks to the Masters and all the fun flex scheduling coverage. I know you guys have plenty on Cincinnati.com. I will say I'll have an interview with TJ Houshmandzadeh later in the week and more fun little Zoom interviews coming your way to get you ready for Bengals and Steelers. What is up on Cincinnati.com?
Yeah, I have a story on Tyler Boyd facing his hometown team and the Pittsburgh Steelers again. He has not won a game versus the Steelers in his career. Also have a story on Joe Burrow and the Bengals, how, you know, they self-reflected on, you know, the previous eight games and, you know, scouted themselves and analyzed what went wrong. And, you know, I have some other stories coming up later in the week.
I, every week, have been writing about the five most interesting throws that Joe Burrow has made this season. So I thought the bye week would be a nice reflective time to look at the five most interesting throws he has made collectively over the first 8 weeks of the season. That's up on Cincinnati.com. And later in the week, I'll have a feature on Quentin Spade and why he calls himself Mr. Undrafted.
Make sure you check that out, Cincinnati.com, over on Twitter, ENQ Sports, Instagram, ENQ Bengals. We'll have you covered all the way leading up to kickoff for Bengals and Steelers pre and post. Thanks for listening to the Bengals Beat Podcast.